WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Faith Abubang. Fears a ground invasion could be next as Israel gives more than a million residents in northern Gaza a heads up to evacuate the war zone with Hamas militants. Elsewhere, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is rejecting reports some $6 billion U.S. dollars earmarked in a prisoner swap with Iran is funding the Hamas attacks.
Tehran so far has not withdrawn any of this money yet, but Iran is facing new scrutiny for its role in supporting Hamas, even though so far there's no intelligence to show that Iran actually played any kind of direct role in this attack. Now, I have pressed the White House on this. They're refusing to go into the specifics, but they do say that Iran is complicit in this because we know they fund, train, and arm Hamas.
ABC's Mary Bruce at the White House. House Republicans meet today to select a new candidate for Speaker. Nominee Steve Scalise pulled out of the race for Speaker Thursday after he failed to gather enough support in his own party to win a vote on the House floor. This is ABC News. Louisville, Kentucky announced it is suing automakers Hyundai and Kia, saying their cars are too easy to steal. Insurance industry officials say vehicle theft are at near record levels across the country.
They're going east. They're approaching Green Bay.
You don't have to look far on social media to find dash cam video of police chasing stolen vehicles. The National Insurance Crime Bureau says that nearly 500,000 cars and trucks were stolen in the first half of 2023, a 2% increase from the first 6 months of last year. California tops the stats with just under 100,000 car thefts January through June, which is a slight decline from 2022. Illinois has seen a 38% surge. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The union representing frontline healthcare workers say it has reached a tentative agreement with Kaiser Permanente. Tens of thousands of healthcare workers staged a walkout last week demanding higher pay and better staffing, saying work overloads were compromising patient care. Faith Abube, ABC News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwaba. Here's what you need to know.
Health officials in Brown County are encouraging parents to get their kids vaccinated. WBAY-TV reports that more than 10% of all kids ages K through 12 in Wisconsin do not have the required shots to attend school. That's about 90,000 kids. Brown County health official Anna Nix understands that parents have concerns and that it's natural, but encourages them to talk to their primary care provider to find out what's best for their child regarding vaccines. If parents want their children to go to school without getting vaccinated, they're required to sign a personal conviction waiver. It's not $1.76 billion, but a local person from Grand Chute did take home 50 G's from Wednesday night's Powerball drawing. WLUK-TV reports that just this month, there have been 11 Powerball tickets with winnings ranging from $50,000 to $1 million sold in Wisconsin.
Pete Schwaba, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Jade Monkey, Diamond Crute, we're going to be there. Live broadcast, party all night.
That's right. The tour stops in Madison at the Jade Monkey on Cottage Grove Road Tuesday, October 17th. It all starts with a live broadcast at 4.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Gerrymandering is not democracy. It's commie government. It's fake government. You have somebody that gets 48% of the vote and they get 67% of the seats. That is not democracy. It's fake democracy. It's the appearance of law without the reality or the actuality of law.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats. And there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Instagram and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So Sandy, what a wicked web we weave when we practice to deceive. The Republicans have not been able to come up with a speaker, and for all the world, Sandy, it doesn't look like it's going to be able to happen soon. Where do they go?
Well, again, this is one of these things is start the wheel rolling in a big way without an end game, and maybe you don't go anywhere. Maybe the wheels roll in different directions. The problem is that the Republican caucus seems to have schisms, centrists. The Freedom Caucus, which might number as high as 20, okay, and then everybody else. And so who it is that's going to be acceptable out of any one of those groups, I mean, anybody who inhabits Congress that's a Republican sits in one or the other of those parts of the caucus, and who is that person that's going to be acceptable to essentially everyone? Because it only takes just a couple of Republicans to throw their body in the way if the Democrats decide that they aren't going to jump in and help the Republicans pick a speaker. And so if this goes on long enough, pretty soon the Democrats will start knocking on the door and say, you know what, we've got someone in your caucus over there that we think would make a good speaker. And maybe they'll end up naming the speaker. It won't be Hakeem Jeffries. I don't think any Republican would go that far. But maybe the Democrats will be able to pick the Republican speaker.
Sandy, people may say, well, can the government move without them? Can we at least get some work done? It's a critical time. Clearly, the Ukraine resources that they need and the fact that Israel and some resources.
And the fact is that our country is needs resources, right, and attention as well. I mean, we end up talking about brush fires like Ukraine and Israel, which are, you know, there might be massive bonfires, both of them. But we need to start paying attention to the U.S. and the future of the United States and the investment in the United States and the people of the United States. And that all takes attention, and that's why we elect people to Congress. And here is Congress is paralyzed. They could make McHenry, who's the Speaker pro tem, the House of Representatives could give him powers that would allow them to operate. They could give him temporary full speaker powers. They could do something to allow the movement of bills and generally get business done in the House of Representatives. But it would take some bipartisan effort.
So, Sandy, this started with, you know, one guy who really was able to throw his weight around and bring an end to McCarthy's rule, And now when you saw the people who are against Scalise, it grew from more than one guy. That it kind of like is spreading.
Well, there were, I think there were like 20 guys, 20 people that are essentially in the camp that is, includes, you know, Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene and some of the group, although Marjorie did vote for McCarthy. You know, I think that's why some observers are looking at this and, you know what, maybe McCarthy's going to end up emerging from this as the continuing speaker, as the solution, the ultimate solution. But who knows? I mean, predicting how they're going, how the that caucus in particular, that portion of the caucus that is sort of cracking the whip, how they're going to behave is it's a very complicated thing.
Well, you know, the other part of it, Sandy, is, you know, that the 45-day reprieve from government shutdown, this thing could drag on, right? It clearly could drag on.
Oh, sure. And solving the 45 days requires that there be some kind of action taken with respect to compromises and dealing with expenditures, right? So it's not just like they in one day, if they come back in one day, they can solve the problem that has been put off for 45 days. No, that 45 days was designed to be working days in which they would roll up their sleeves, get things done to reach consensus on various kinds of expenditures so that they could move forward. But nothing's happening.
You know, Sandy, we're kind of in a place right now in our government that we haven't been in a while. The Federal Reserve is going to raise the interest rates again. And
well, we don't know that.
Well, I was reading, you know, kind of, I hope we hope that they won't.
Well, I think there's a fair amount of speculation that the high prevailing interest rates in the marketplace and the increase in yields on federal treasuries, et cetera, is going to be enough of a curtailment on the economy that they don't need to raise interest rates. So I think there's not unanimity about whether or not the Fed is likely to raise interest rates in their next meeting.
But it's still an issue.
Yes,
it's still on the table.
Yep.
Ukraine, you know, Israel, other things, as you stated before, just the average everyday American who's losing faith in the government. It's a difficult time that requires, again, as you've always said, planning. What is the plan, right?
Right.
At some point in time, and the split between Democrats and Republicans and can't work together, all of these things being fixed, Sandy, is going to require planning. Is it safe to say that?
Well, absolutely. You know, whether planning, I mean, at this point, I think it's beyond planning. It just requires action. They require near-term decision-making. I wish that decision-making was in the context of a broader plan, but right now we just need people to get back into the office and start doing their work, and that doesn't seem very likely.
So you were in government, and yes, there's a couple sides of it, but when you were in government, Tom always says the people mattered, right?
Well, yes, and I think, yes, I think that the power of private interests was far less 40, 30 years ago than it is today. And so, the power of the private interest is surprising. You know, we were talking off the air a while ago about something that surprised me about it. But I think that government needs to become much more responsive to the people and not to special interests. And if it became more sensitized to the interests of the people, it would start worrying about things that mattered to the people, like child daycare and education and healthcare and all the things that touch people's lives day to day.
I know, but Sandy, how do we get back to that now? It's so far removed, and you know, I'm not saying it can't be, you know, addressed or taken, but in your assessment, how can we get back there? That conversation is not even being discussed.
Well, money out of politics would be a big thing.
Yeah,
and actually, we get callers from the right and the left, all who seem to agree on that. If we got money out of politics, things might begin to change. Politicians would begin to worry about the actual voters and not the money that they use to attract voters.
What are the chances of that happening now that the people with the money know that I can control things with my money? What are the chances of that happening, Sandy?
It's going to require leadership and movement. It'll require someone to come on the political scene who wants to invest themselves in that. We saw McCain-Feingold. There was a time when that was getting a lot of attention and did. And that was the issue that they were facing at the time. And we had two people willing to invest their political futures on that issue. And we need that again. We need people who actually have leadership capacity to pick that up. I mean, I think we have people in Washington who have been championing it. But Bernie Sanders, obviously, and the AOC caucus and there are probably people on the right who might also, but we need people to really get out in front of it.
You know, all of these things, and our listening audience and the average everyday Joe, these are the reasons why people are in the conditions they're in.
Yeah. In fact, you were talking to me off the air about something that we could jump to right now, because it's sort of an example of the extent to which
we're close to the break.
Right.
And I wanted to make sure that we began that at the beginning, of the next session
segment.
But Sandy, I do. I mean, I grow tired and hopeful and hopeless sometimes, because as you stated, we know that money is out there. The money is the evil. And nobody who has the money and has used the money to manipulate things and wind up with the government moving in their direction is going to voluntarily give that up.
Well, in fact, almost everyone who gets elected to office for the first time reports back how disillusioned they are, that they spend most of their time, what they call it in Washington, is dialing for dollars. They spend all their time on the telephone talking to the people who would be the source of their funding for their next campaign. Well, that process is clearly a compromising process, because, you know, and people who give lots of money into politics certainly think that they have an opportunity to knock on the door of a politician, get in and sit down and talk to them. Access means everything, right?
Right.
The person who told you the story last has the best opportunity.
You know, the worst part about that, Sandy, is those people can get in to talk with the elected official, but the average everyday Joe can't.
Yeah, to generalize, that's the case. I mean, access, there's only so many minutes in a day. And
yeah, I'm not saying that every
No,
every
but
Joe.
I mean, no, you're absolutely right. And the access obviously gets beyond that in some circumstances. And that's the foundation of K Street. You know, what I call K Street, the address in Washington where lots of lobbyists are located. They get access. They have access. They are important to politicians. They provide them with talking points. They provide them with data. They provide them with arguments.
The money they need for reelection.
They always can couch their arguments for Big Pharma or whatever in the public interest. They explain how it is that long-term patents on particular medicines are very important for the exploration and research that's done by Big Pharma to save people's lives. I mean, everything is couched in a public interest that is all couched, the arguments couched by a private interest.
All right, we got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
The 7th Annual Cap Times Idea Fest returned to Madison September 17th, featuring conversations with leaders in government, business, education, social justice, and culture. IdeaFest moderators and guests looked ahead to what the future could look like in Wisconsin and how we reckon with change brought on by the pandemic, the Black Lives Matter movement, and other forces. Civic Media proudly partnered with IdeaFest and will present segments of this year's recorded gathering this weekend across the Civic Media Network. Tune in Saturday at 2 p.m. on your favorite Civic Media station.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies this afternoon with scattered rain showers likely. Daytime highs approaching 51. East winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers likely. Tonight, lows level off around 49. Cloudy. Scattered rain showers again. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 52. Overcast. Temps below average Sunday and Monday, with highs from the low 50s to the mid 50s. Chance for scattered rain showers Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 49.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
This world, nothing can stop a do-gooder. And with you, you are my girl, and no one can hurt you. Oh no, yes I.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, as I was going over this article, I couldn't help but wait to hear your response to this. And it's in today's Political. And it says how a billionaire-backed network of artificial intelligence advisors took over Washington. A sprawling network spread across Congress, federal agencies, and think tanks is pushing policymakers to put artificial intelligence apocalypse at the top of the agenda, politically boxing out other worries and benefiting top AI companies with ties to the network. Again, pushing out and boxing out other worries. That artificial intelligence.
Yeah, but describe what it is. You know, these are apparently these are people who are funded by these private interests.
An organization backed by Silicon Valley billionaires and tied to leading artificial intelligence firms is funding the salaries of more than a dozen artificial intelligence fellows in key congressional offices across the federal agencies and an influential think tank. The fellows funded by Open Philanthropy, which is financed primarily by billionaires, Facebook co-founder and Asana CEO, Dustin Markowitz, and his wife.
Yeah, so that's the part that woke me up when you read that, because to think that we've got privately funded people, essentially privatized salaried people, working in government offices and in staff to the legislature or in government offices in Washington or around the country is frightening. You know, that's government, and what civil service was all about is making sure that government was purely funded by the people so that the people who were being paid by the government would view as their clients the people, right? But if you're funded by Big Pharma, if you're funded by AI, if you're funded by someone like that, then who's your client? And who are you actually doing your work for? Whatever you think at the conscious level, your subconscious knows who butters your bread, okay? And who butters your bread has a lot to do with the kinds of arguments that you make or the kind of arguments that you find interesting and susceptible. So I'm troubled by this. I don't think that we should be privatizing employment within our government because it's a little bit then like having a lobbyist sitting in a chair next to some bureaucrat
or some congressional staffer. Is it safe to say that this is occurring with dealing with AI, but then it's also probably happening with others?
Well, apparently, I mean, the notion that there are this notion of fellows funded by private sources who are then working within the government strikes me as a situation in which, everybody who's operating under a tight budget would love to have salaries within your department paid by somebody else. But we ought to erect a barrier against that with respect to government employees because, you know, our government needs to be run by and for the people, like Tom says, and we need to make sure that we don't have essentially Trojan horses sitting within our government funded by other sources.
Good morning to you, Sandy. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning. Well, I guess we are not surprised, are we? I mean, this is just typical, and I guess the Biden administration is buying into the autocracy that the Trump administration started. So it looks to me like, you know, we the people lose more of we the people to the corporation rules, and I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, we're about to be at war, I think, in another world war, and we're worried about this kind of stuff. I'm just baffled.
Cindy, thank you very much for the call. Sandy?
Well, you know, I think ethics has just gotten cloudy, and I think it's ethics in Washington generally, congressional members. You know, like I was saying, they basically participate in dialing for dollars from day one of their operation. When they get elected, they always report back from the first time. They say, oh, my God, I just got elected to Congress, and I realize that I have to spend hours every day dialing for dollars, raising money. So, you know, we've just got people in Washington, and I think Washington itself has become oblivious to the notion of the extent to which it is compromised by the incursion of private interest.
So Sandy, once you find out about this, as we have right now, what can be done?
Well, we've got a caller on the line who's going to tell us we have to get money out of politics. But this is different than money in politics. This is more like ignoring the potential compromising of information that you might develop. You know, staff is designed to be a filter for information to bring facts and policy arguments to the elected officials so that they can better understand what's going on. And you don't want, and that staff is actively being lobbied, you know, so that staff needs to have a high degree of ethics to make sure that what they do is not unduly affected by private interest.
So, Sandy, the American people don't know how government works. It is too complex. And so we can't, the average citizen does not know any of these things. They don't know what those things mean.
Well, I mean, when people go to Washington and are elected, they're going to rely on their congressional staff for information.
Sandy, hold the thought. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Faith Abubang. Fears a ground invasion could be next as Israel gives more than 1 million residents in northern Gaza a heads up to evacuate the war zone with Hamas militants. Elsewhere, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is rejecting reports some $6 billion U.S. dollars earmarked in a prisoner swap with Iran is funding the Hamas attacks.
Tehran so far has not withdrawn any of this money yet, but Iran is facing new scrutiny for its role in supporting Hamas, even though so far there's no intelligence to show that Iran actually played any kind of direct direct role in this attack. Now, I have pressed the White House on this. They're refusing to go into the specifics, but they do say that Iran is complicit in this because we know they fund, train, and arm Hamas.
ABC's Mary Bruce at the White House. House Republicans meet today to select a new candidate for Speaker. Nominee Steve Scalise pulled out of the race for Speaker Thursday after he failed to gather enough support in his own party to win a vote on the House floor. This is ABC News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know. Two people were seriously injured in a single car crash in Outagamie County. The crash happened around 9 a.m. Thursday morning in Cicero on Highway 47. The Outagamie County Sheriff's Office says a pickup truck rolled over and trapped the two passengers. The Nichols Fire Department was called to pull the passengers out of the truck, which was completely flipped over. Authorities are not sure at this time what caused the truck to go off the road. A local fire department has received a grant from the federal government for over $1 million. WFRV-TV reports that the Howard Fire Department was given $1.2 million to buy new equipment and hire more first responders. The department says it will also switch from a 12-hour shift day to a 24-hour day, 365 days a year. The fire chief says at any given time there will be five firefighters available to the public. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Timeout!
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
A long, long time ago, on graduation day, you handed me your book. I signed this way, roses are red, my love, violets are blue, sugar.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy Williams. And, you know, we're having a conversation about, you know, what has happened politically. And, you know, the election is coming up again. And we're all clearly voting for our man. You know, whoever it is, or our woman, and whatever seat it is, Congress, presidency, mayor, governor, doesn't matter. We're voting for that person, that face who we think is going to represent us. And Sandy has been educating me. And clearly, my lack of knowledge of the inner workings of how the government works. And so we're looking at one person. And we're thinking this person is going to do all these different things. And you clearly, Sandy, are pointing out that, you know, it's the team.
Well, you know, when you a senator has a big staff, okay, and they pick their staff. And some senators will pick their staff based on the kind of knowledge and intellect that the staff has in particular areas that are important to the senator so that they'll do research on their behalf and figure public policy out in the best possible way. Some elected officials pick their staff simply on the notion that they're going to pick a staff that's going to get them reelected. And the job of that entire staff is to make sure that I get reelected, okay? You don't want a senator like that. You don't want a congressman like that. You want congresspeople and senators who have backing behind them to give them all the capacity they can to make the right decisions on behalf of the people.
But how do you know that?
The other thing that's going on in Washington is lobbying. And the focus of that lobbying is just as much on that staff as it is on
the
politician, okay? And so, you know, the information is important. Information is king. Public policy arguments are always made on behalf of everybody about everything. And so lobbyists, the talent of lobbyists is, and these people are not sleazy people. Most of them are come out of the staff and the congressional staffs in Washington or come out of senatorial or Congress staff. And they all have contacts. They're all knowledgeable. They all know how to make public policy arguments. And so I guarantee you that it's not so cynical that people sit down and push money across the table and say, in exchange for this, you're going to do that. No, they explain to them how it is that there's a good public policy argument behind this. And incidentally, you know, the politician or the staff knows that coincident with that public policy argument, there's a lot of money behind that private interest that's talking to you. And so it makes it a little easier to agree with the public policy argument being made. So really, what we were just talking about before, about this AI and privately funded staff people in Washington, is troublesome for that very reason, that gosh, it's hard enough in Washington to resist the power of money, but to have it directly funded like that, I don't know. I think we've got some callers that probably have a reaction to that.
All right, let's bring Tom on. Hey, Tom, good morning to you. You say what?
Yeah, Earl. First off, we need to kick all lobbyists out of Washington as well. And when Reagan came in, there was very, very few lobbyists, and that's when the lobbyists exploded, just like national debt, just like everything else that Reagan seems to have done. Everyone needs to check out, it's called the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC. It is a Koch-funded group, and it is a group that basically, they write the legislation and they just give it to the politician to go ahead and put up and pass it. In fact, that happened in Wisconsin more so than anywhere else in the country. So everyone needs to be aware of that. We have got, even if it's at an individual school board level or whatever, if we have to start there, we have got to get money out of politics. If anyone is not informed, please check out Citizens United case and how the conservative Supreme Court made it so you could have unlimited amount of money for politicians and that the corporations could give it without having to disclose the donors at all. They do it through PACs. It's very, very important in order for us to restore government back to we the people is to understand and follow the money, because that's all. Everything. If I had one issue that I just wanted to focus on more than any other, and I even had a Republican person that was actually running, like a Dale Schultz, that actually hated money in politics, I would vote for that person if they were actually being honest with me, because of the fact that is the whole ball game, folks.
Okay.
And Sandy's right. I mean, it's the lobbyists. This is one of the reasons why we can't have term limits, because if you have term limits, then people that are running the whole show are going to be lobbyists. It's not going to be the people that have the institutional history or knowing of what was going on in the Congress to be able to actually push back against the lobbyists.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to that?
No, I agree. I mean, I think term limits are a problem. Then everyone's a rookie and they're more susceptible to the process. I think Tom's right. We need to figure out how to follow money, figure out how to get money as much as possible out of politics directly so that we can start having politicians be much more responsive to the people's interests.
Okay, so we're going to bring CJ on. Good morning to you, CJ.
Morning. Good morning, Earl and Sandy. I believe in term limits. I wish they would. Can I go back to one of your earlier topics about the speaker?
Go ahead.
You always talk, Earl, about politics. Well, I think the Democrats are better at politics because it wouldn't take many of them to help keep McCarthy in.
The question is, why would they?
200 Democrats.
But CJ, why would they?
McCarthy, too.
Why would they?
Why would they?
Yeah.
Well, the reason they could have helped not cause this disarray in the country. But again, the Democrats are better at politics than the Republicans. They want this disarray.
Sandy, you want to respond to it?
Well, the cause of this lies within the Republican caucus and their inability to maintain unanimity behind their speaker, which is what's normally required to support a speaker. You know, the level of the margin of the plurality of a party in Congress is normally pretty thin. And normally the parties are able to maintain unanimity within the caucus when they come forward after deciding within the caucus who they're going to put forward as speaker. And the Republicans haven't been able to do that. So this is a little bit like the Briar Patch and Peter Rabbit. You know, they went into the Briar Patch. Republicans are in the Briar Patch. They put themselves there. And I guess now they want to blame people for not getting them out. I think ultimately the Democrats might be there to solve the problem. But it won't necessarily be the speaker that the Republicans otherwise would want.
Well, you know, Sandy, you know, it's easy to point the finger and say, well, the Democrats should have supported, you know, McCarthy. But, you know, that's kind of like saying that Republicans should have voted for Nancy Pelosi. Come on. This was not going to happen.
Right, right. Well, right? It's not been the standard process in Washington for speaker elections. But, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, but it doesn't really apply. It's simply a revisionist history in terms of an analysis of the problem. Pinning it on the Democrats is pretty hard to do.
Senator, let me ask you, you, with your vast knowledge on so many different fronts, and especially government, are you frustrated where we are now in government?
Well, yeah.
Have you ever seen this in your vast knowledge?
No, I mean, I think our government gets increasingly broken. You know, our inability to run ourselves in a stable fashion. We've been in gridlock for 20 years in terms of partisan gridlock, ever since essentially the period of Newt Gingrich, where we started getting extremely partisan in the process. And now we also have a chaotic kind of financial approach, the way we run our government financially. And we have statewide elections that are very skewed as the result of gerrymandering. We have many districts in which there's literally no contest for the elections. Things are just very, very fractured. And, what is the fix? I don't know if it's multiple parties, whether we need to, but I think we need to go a little bit back to the drawing board, because instead of being in a situation where we are approaching equilibrium, which is what nature wants, right?
Right.
We are in a trajectory in which we are getting further and further away from equilibrium in terms of the way we govern ourselves. And my fear is that this disequilibrium is the pathway for autocracy. And it's, I believe, the path down which Donald Trump is now walking, right? And he's trying to walk the country in that direction. And that is scary because that's a complete failure of the democratic system. It's a complete departure from the Constitution.
Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what, sir?
Good morning, guys. What Sandy's saying, I couldn't agree with him more, but I teach Christian leadership, and we're growing, by the way. We're going to be opening our fourth class. There's a cry for leadership in this country. And if the leadership, and I'm seeing this like night and day with Civic Media Radio, your listeners, you're, according to Mike, 123,000 are demanding accountability, respectability, to be a character type person. If we carry that flag, we will overcome the rest, because America's crying out for leadership. They are. And they want a leader that's honest. He's diplomatic. He's charismatic. He's got impeccable resume.
He or she.
Oh, right. Absolutely. In many cases, if you want me to pick one, she. I see more women more focused sometimes than men. That leads this country to that kind of leadership. We will win. We will win. That's what the country wants. And my version is that you've got to be a Christian man. We're Christian people are humanitarian. They're really humanitarian. They care about the less fortunate. There are no illegals at the border. The illegals are in Congress.
Well, you know,
and Senate.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. Sandy?
Well, leadership. I was talking about that earlier. Clearly what's going to get us in the direction of getting money out of politics, getting politics refocused on the people, is leaders. We need people who are resonant, charismatic leaders who can rechannel and refocus our thought process away from fear and anger, which is the charisma that Donald Trump has to offer, and in the direction of solving problems, not waving our arms and shouting about problems, but actually solving problems.
So Sandy, so in our lifetimes, we've seen the impact that having a person in those positions really matters. And I don't care if it's in City Hall or if it's at state level or if it's nationally. All of those things, the people perish for the lack of leadership, right?
Well, yeah, leadership can actually change the arc of history, right?
Right.
I mean, JFK was viewed as a leader and had an impact. LBJ was changed the arc of history.
Yeah.
Reagan changed the arc of history, whether you like it or not. He changed Washington and the arc of history. We need a leader to come forward now and change the arc of history, because right now, history is in an arc that is not very desirable.
So the question is, Sandy, there are leaders.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to RealDealOnFentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
Right. Do you ever have ladies come to your shop, your beautiful, wonderful store on Military, and ask if the diamond they got was real?
Absolutely, they do.
They do, huh?
And how many, if any, are married to people like John Mino?
What's that supposed to mean?
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. And on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast this afternoon with scattered rain showers likely. High temperatures reach up to 51. Easterly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers again. Tonight, lows dip down to about 49. Cloudy. Scattered rain showers likely. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 52. Cloudy skies expected. Temperatures below average Sunday and Monday with highs from the low 50s to the mid 50s. Chance for scattered showers Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 50.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. It's Friday. Fridays with Sandy Williams. Let's go back to the phone lines. And Brian, welcome back, Brian. You say what?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that your last caller mentioned something about leadership, and I agree with almost everything you said except for one major factor, and that is, no, we do not need Christian leadership. We need, I mean, have your faith and nothing against your faith. I'm not trying to talk anything bad about anyone's faith. But we need to also, not just as much as we need to keep money out of politics, we need to keep separation of church and state. And I just wanted to reiterate that for your last caller. Thank you.
Thank you very much for those words and the calls.
Yeah, here. I agree entirely. I think we make a mistake attributing sound judgment and sound morals to a particular religion. And I think that what we need is leadership, and we need leadership that's independent from people's religious views.
You know, Sandy, this point in our history, you can't help but wonder what our forefathers and what our parents and what they had to deal with the world war and finding their place in our government at a time of a world war.
You know, to be honest with you, the world war might have made life simpler because it and somewhat like the way the Cold War made international affairs simpler, because you had a particular object, you had a particular enemy, everyone was united about it. Everyone was deprived of things in the same way. Everyone was going through the same sort of hardships. I mean, it was horror. I mean, it's a horror, right?
Right.
But it might have been that it was a simpler time. And what becomes less simple is a world that's all diffuse and without particular object.
So life is clearly more complex than that point in time is.
Well, life is much more complex, I think, and I think that, you know, every decade thinks that their decade is so complex but I do believe that we have become more complex. And like I said, I'm afraid that our trajectory is away from equilibrium. Equilibrium would be a time when things would feel simple.
So, Sandy, how do we get back there? Because it appears we're drifting further and further away from that.
Yeah, well, I do agree with Bill in spite of disagreeing with the denomination, a religious denomination-based leadership, I think what we do need is leadership that would help us find our way back, right? I mean, when you get lost, when you're off the path, you need someone to say, hey, we're lost, and we need to get back on the path. And the path, I think, is towards more refined interest in what it is that is necessary for Tom, Dick, and Mary. And let me just say, Tom, Dick, and Mary's children, okay? Yes. I think what really makes life much simpler is to simply look at life and look at things and look at policies through the eyes of our infants, okay? The ones that are helpless, the ones that are reliant upon us, the ones that need us to take the steps necessary to give them the opportunities. That's what makes life simple.
You know, Sandy, this in civic media and all of what it stands for is trying to bring people together from different places, people who live in rural America, people who live in urban centers. We've got the same issues. We've got the same issues.
I think if you look at the world, if you look at it worldwide, everybody has the same interest if they're going to look at life through the eyes of their infants, okay? They're going to look at life through the eyes of those who we helplessly bring into this world and are now dependent upon us, and we need to give them the opportunities. And it's all of them. It's not just some of them. It's not the ones that are lucky enough to be born into opportunity. It's the people, all of the people who, those unlucky enough to be born into difficulty as well, who need to be put in a position of being able to help us as a community prosper. It's an investment in us when we invest in them. It's not just a gift to them. It's an investment in us. And that's the way most of the world looks at it. That's why they have community health care. That's why, you know, they've secured right. access to health care, access to education, the things that are fundamental.
So this continued battle that we have internally that we've got to get fixed. There's just no, it has to happen. And so even whether there's going to be winners or losers, what is that? What does that matter? Well, we've got to be the winner. Well, what does that really mean? At what cost, Sandy? The destruction of the society? The destruction of democracy?
Right.
Is that what we're talking about?
Well, that's the problem with the we, they thing, okay? It's the problem with we, they within the country. It's the problem of we, they in international affairs. It's the problem of making judgments about how other people have decided to regulate themselves and to afford their children and their infants opportunities. We need to get back to just real basics in this country, and it's simple. It's not complicated, and it's looking at life through the eyes of the infants.
You know, and you know, I just for the life of me, it's a struggle. It's a struggle that, you know, that has to be overcome. And I enjoy having an opportunity to sit down with you and kind of have these dialogues and conversations to kind of bring these subjects up, Sandy, that, you know, impact and affect all of us, you know, and we've just got to get beyond whatever this is, whoever that is, put them on quickly, just for the last second, bring them up. Yes, quickly.
Hi, this is Cindy, and I'm calling to find out what Sandy thinks about so the problem with financing and supporting our troops, and based upon the fact that they don't have a speaker right now, and so a budget is unlikely.
Hey, Cindy, I'm sorry, we're going to have to deal with that on Monday. Because we're out of time. But thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening. Sandy.
Well, she highlights a problem, which is we get in the way of ourselves being able to do what we need to do with all this political falderall. We need to get back to simplicity and acting out of the interests of the people.
And I'm sure we'll talk about that on Monday. Thank you, Sandy, as always. Thank you, Calvin. Thank everybody for a great week. We'll be back on Monday. See you guys later.
Mino and the Mayor.
I want to talk about the two of you. And what I love the most about it is the excitement for Green Bay. You guys, both of you, have a passion for our area. When you talk about the local events, you're not just talking about, hey, it's at this location at this time. Like, you know, oh, there's this race that they do, or they do this cake thing. Like, you know it so well, and I love the energy that you bring to this show.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. And on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Jim.